Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to join with you, to come into your homes. And again, we want to thank all of those that take time to write us. We get a volume of letters, and we appreciate that very, very much. And sometimes if you're a little late receiving an answer, it's because of the volume we get. So we thank you for listening and appreciate that. Also, we're going to do something because we've had this ask of people write. Well, Pastor Younce, would you give, again, you only give once if you're advertising a book or that, or you give your website sometimes only once. So would you give it at the beginning of the broadcast, so, and also at the end? So we're going to give our website here. I'm not sure we'll do it every broadcast, but periodically. But our website is heritagebbc.com, and that is our website number, heritagebbc.com. And also the book that we have had probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of requests for, that we've sent it out to missionaries. We've sent it out all over, even as far as Australia and other foreign countries, that they have seen it on the Internet. And that is the question about the speaking in tongues. This is the great question. The speaking in tongues has divided churches, many, 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 many churches. It's divided people and so forth. And this book that we have written on, we examine every place that tongues is spoken of in the Bible and take it. And people have asked, well, tongues are in the Bible. Well, so's the flood, but we're not going to have another one. So's the ark, but we're not to build one, are we? So taking in context, we examine every place that the tongues is spoken, and to show you, these tongues were done away with when the Bible was completed. And this will be a good doctrinal study. You need the book in your library so you don't get swept off your feet here with the charismatic movement here and the so-called speaking in tongues. So that's where we stand on it, but we'll prove that to you by the scriptures. And this is, I believe, an excellent book that covers all of the places, the Pentecostal gift and so forth, and 1 Corinthians and in 12, 13, and 14. So let's get on with our Bible study now. We just wanted to give that out there. So let's go as we continue our Bible study now and go over here to Romans in chapter 8. Now, we finished up chapter 7 last week. We're beginning here in chapter 8. In chapter 8, verse 1, we find out here is a continuation here of what is spoken of in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, all the way through there, basically now, is dealing with the two natures that the Christian has. Until we're a Christian, we only have the old nature, and that is under the condemnation of God, of course. That's a person being lost. They've never been born again and have the new nature, that is the Holy Spirit, then they're lost on their way to hell. But after they have received Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit of God, and then Paul dealt with this in chapter 7 here of the conflict in a Christian's life after they are saved between the Holy Spirit and the old flesh. Now, we come here to chapter 8 and verse 1, and a verse that is so many times misused. I have heard preachers and preachers and preachers quote this, and they only quote half of the verse. I've even heard many Baptists do this, and they quote half of the verse and try to apply it to salvation. If you take half of the verse, you could apply it to salvation because it is true, but that's not what this verse is speaking about, taking it in the context here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you stop right there, that's absolutely correct. Because once we've been born again, we find out positionally now we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and positionally God looks upon the Christian as though they had never sinned, although we do, and those sins will be taken care of at the judgment seat of Christ. But let's read the rest of the verse now of what it really means. And there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the word condemnation in this passage here, concluding here in chapter 7, is not speaking about salvation whatsoever. It's speaking about the works of a Christian. Other words, when you're a Christian, you can have, and we'll say this, that a Christian has bad works. Well, there are a lot of Christians that have bad works. And all of us at some time or another have done things that are not right. They've been displeasing to the Lord. Those works are condemned. Condemned to hell? No. But those works are going to be burned, because every one of us has to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 10, the Word of God tells us this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things that we've done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. How we lived our life after we're a Christian depends upon the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why there is a judgment for Christians in heaven. That's after we're in heaven. And that's going to be for rewards. Remember this, eternal life is never a reward. It is a free gift. It's received. It is never earned. It is received by faith, not by works of righteousness. So when we come on down here to chapter 8 in the book of Romans, it is a conclusion on the two natures here. So if we walk after the flesh, therefore those works that we do out of the flesh are going to be condemned. Not to hell, but condemned as far as rewards are concerned. But if we walk after the Spirit, then we're going to receive rewards for that. Now you say, where in the world do you get that? Well, first of all, we find out, if we come over here, we find out that when we look at Romans 8:1, we find out at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 3,